to the thrilling world of Security Squawk, where we explore cybersecurity. Guiding you through online threats, we'll aid you in understanding safety protocols and trends. Meet our gurus, Brian from ExactIT, Reginald from ArcSolvers, and Randy from TechRescue. Together, we'll delve into current events and hot cybersecurity topics, helping you comprehend their impact. Stay informed, stay secure. Security Squawk, the business of cybersecurity. Buckle up, let's dive in.
Buckle up. What's up, everyone? It's Brian. I'm here with Andre. How are you, sir?
A little under the weather, but pushing through.
Yeah, and our buddy Randy is a lot under the weather and couldn't make it with us today, but I'm sure he's watching. What's up, Randy? Hope you feel better soon. So today's show, we're going to get into a discussion about a warning, or at least these repeated warnings by FBI Director Christopher Wray on the China cyber operations targeting U.S. critical infrastructure. I guess Andre and I want to dig into the why are we hearing this so much and what is he actually talking about. We'll also deep dive a little bit into the broader strategy of China trying to influence their power across the globe and how this plays into that. We'll look at how ransomware attacks are shaking two entities. One is the U.S. healthcare organization, the ones that own the Change Healthcare group that was hit by a ransomware attack. We're going to talk about where they're at financially several months after the attack. And we're also going to highlight a cyber attack that complicated things around the New York State budgeting process. That sound like a good show, Andre?
Yeah, we got a lot of great topics.
Yes, sir. So before we get into it, guys, remember, we do this show out of the goodness of our heart. We don't bore you with ads and we don't do promotion on here. We just bring you the goods. We help you understand what the heck is going on around the world of cybersecurity, how it impacts you personally and your business if you own a business. But even so, what we've seen the trend going towards is cybersecurity really impacting individuals, and your data is being stolen at a rapid pace, and it's only going to be a matter of time before you need to take this into your own hands and start doing something about it. So we're helping you understand this and helping you understand how you can protect yourself. So that means what? Share the show, right? We always talk about share the show, right, Andre?
That's right.
What's sharing the show help us do? Helps us not only get the word out, but helps other people find us. That silly algorithm when you open up these apps and you scroll and these videos appear. Well, when you share us, when you like us, when you post a comment, it helps other people find this comment, and that's how that works. So we appreciate the support, right?
Right. And you get notifications when we go live, because sometimes we do switch it up a little.
We do. We are live today on Facebook doing a live event. Let's see if that's working. Yeah, it looks like it's working. Amazing technology. So it is working. Actually, no, it's not, because I didn't hit the go live button on Facebook. So I don't know if the other thing did that. So we are live now. Anyway. But we are on YouTube and we post to every podcasting platform known to man. So it shouldn't be hard to find us. Just search Google's for Security Squawk and you will always find our content. So let's get into it, dude. Christopher Wray, he's been kind of sounding the alarm bells here since, I guess, the beginning of the year about China and what they're up to and what they're doing when it comes to trying to, I guess the right way to term this is get a foothold across the U.S. critical infrastructure arena. Like, we're not just talking about like water supply, like we talked about a few weeks ago here. We're talking about power. We're talking about water. We're talking about pretty much any utility you can think of, including internet. They are trying to infiltrate these companies and get footholds into their networks, into their systems for we don't know what, right? And I guess that's kind of the mystery here and what we don't know. But what we do know is it seems that the government has intel on the fact that the Chinese have figured out what the popular software and hardware tools that these different industries might use. And the Chinese have come up with a plan to infiltrate those devices and take advantage of those devices, which what happens when they do that is they basically now have control of your computer network or your devices or what have you. So that's kind of the gist of what's going on here, right?
Yeah, so we don't, like you said, we don't know what exactly or who they're going to target, you know, per se, which city or whatever. But I put in the show notes or in the private chat, Brian, another article where it's talking about kind of a why, you know, because for China to now, you know, target this U.S. infrastructure, there's got to be the why. And it seems that it is politically, you know, motivated with what's going on with Taiwan. And an interesting quote that Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said is that he says that the Chinese government link hackers have borrowed into the U.S. critical infrastructure and are waiting for just the right moment to deal a devastating blow. And this guy, Christopher, the director, he has, like you said, sounding the alarms. Anybody that's willing to interview him, he's openly and saying, like, look, there's a big problem. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I know this is probably, you know, on China's side, this is their way of probably threatening the United States to say, hey, you know, don't get too involved over here. Calm down over here, because, you know, we have you by the, you know, by the socks, so to speak. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
So the Chinese government is denying these allegations when asked about them. And they're basically saying that we're the ones who were politically motivated by making these things up. So do you think that it's politically motivated? I mean, it seems like he's bringing awareness. I mean, clearly we are getting the sanitized US version of what he's saying, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
But at the same time, he's asking for money. He's asking for this to be funded in some way, shape, or form. I don't see him doing anything much more than that. Do you?
Okay, I can see that point too. I didn't look at it in that aspect. So he's more, I can see that point as well.
Well, I just don't understand like how it really could be politically motivated. The only political motivation for me is like if you decide to do something right before our election, then that means that you're lying and you do have it, right? So like, I guess time will tell. We'll figure out if they have access, but at the same time, like we're not saying like we're not saying anything other than we need to spend more money and look into these areas, which I think you and I agree with, right? You and I know that businesses, governments in this country, local, state, federal, we're going to talk about a state government that got hit with ransomware at the end of the show here, right? We know they're not spending enough money on what needs to be spent in order to deal with these issues, right? Doing things like simple risk assessments. How many businesses have actually done a risk assessment, a legit risk assessment, like full blown, right? I don't think very many, right? Some people may have had like those, what, external risk assessments done by some company that came along and like, hey, well, you know, we'll do an assessment on you, and they just scan the external IP and give them two thumbs up and say, you're good to go. Right. We've seen it happen. So, I mean, I'm just bringing it up because we know that that kind of stuff is out there and it's happening, and people do. I have met people who have told me like, oh yeah, we've gotten one of those scans and they told us we're good, and they had this false sense of security until I informed them. It's like, yeah, that's just a small piece of what you need to be worried about. You know, let's dig in.
Right. Doing those external scans where most of your employees work from home and not in the office anyways, right?
Yeah, great point. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, it was a bigger deal. Now when everybody's distributed and working from home, it's a different challenge, right? You know, it could be that it, you know, I've seen it with some companies where the distributed workforce worked to their advantage, where it actually made them more secure to do it hybrid and distributed than it did from their own office. And then I've seen it go the other way. I've seen it where companies, you know, security has gotten worse, or their security footprint has gotten worse because, you know, the distributed workforce, you know, just wasn't handled properly. And now they have all these different issues that they have to clean up and deal with. So what are you seeing around that?
Well, one thing also is that the FBI, if you recall last year, they warned the hospitals and the schools of cyber attacks coming, like, hey, they're knocking on your door.
Right.
And remember, it was the FBI saying that, not just, you know, some random guys on YouTube. And boom, and we just saw it, and we're still seeing it. So I really, yes, I could see him doing the play of like, man, Congress is not, you know, listening. Let me go to the people and let me put the pressure in that aspect. But I really do think that, you know, later on this year or in a couple of months or whatever the case is, that there's going to be something happen and he's going to say, I told you so. And job security as well. Because I think his position goes throughout presidencies. It's not when, you know, a new president comes in. So.
Right. No, you're right. And the other thing too is, you know, from my, what I believe is that you don't see, I guess what I'm concerned with is the frequency of how much he's talking about this.
Right.
Like that's when I see the FBI's behavior go from mentioning things or throwing a bullet in and out every once in a while to bring awareness to a situation to basically every time you get a mic in front of you, you're talking about this, and that's where we're at right now. That means that, you know, something's probably going to happen this year versus, say, in a year or two.
Right.
And if it doesn't happen this year, it'll definitely happen next year, unless things significantly change. So you're in critical infrastructure, Andre. Let me toss this one to you.
Sure.
What are you going to do as a business to mitigate whatever these risks are posed by these state-sponsored cyber criminals?
Well, it's definitely hard to fight a nation state like China. Jeez. However, can you hear me?
I said, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Is. Yeah. But there's, you know, not to say that they don't have, obviously they have advanced technologies and stuff like that, but a lot of the times it's simple stuff that we are not doing on our systems. Two important factor, doing the updates, as Randy would say, you know, all the unsexy things in IT, but this is how they're getting in. So this is, we have to just make sure that we're doing the, for so to speak, the basics. If we can at least make sure that the systems that we have on our machines, the windows are patched and updated, making sure that we don't have old infrastructure, as we're going to be reading in what New York is dealing with. I think that is like the first step. Yes. Will we ever be able to, you know, thwart a nation state? Of course not. But there's definitely things that we can do to at least, you know, be like 90% there. And then the other 10% is just things that were not going to be, you know, beyond our control anyways.
So let's talk. Mr. Dupuy here has a question for us. It's curious about is what actions we are taking to engage our proactive cybersecurity experts in the military to defend our critical infrastructure. Can either of you speak to that? I'm not aware of, let me answer this the right way. I'm not aware of anybody outside of the military being actively recruited who per se is a technical guru, was, you know, cybersecurity expert. I don't know if, especially when it comes to the Department of Defense, I don't know outside of the Department of Defense how much the government's really relying on security experts outside of DHS. But I don't think they're going out and recruiting guys like me and Andre and people that we know in our circles too hard. I think that it's a lot of homegrown, you know, people. There's a lot of people who are being trained by the military, who are being trained by the DoD right now to be cyber, you know, experts and do things like threat intel, threat hunting. And a lot of the people that leave the military and enter into our space, you know, they are, you know, from the military. They were, you know, born, bred, raised, and trained by the military on this stuff. So there is a very robust system in place. It's just whether or not you want to enlist in the military or get involved through, you know, maybe an officer's program or something like that to go this route. But I'm not aware of the government per se. It's a very, when you're talking about DHS, when you're talking about CISA, when you're talking about people getting jobs in these areas, I would say it's very much still an old boys club. And you got to know somebody to, and they're recruiting their friends and, you know, people are, you know, getting jobs that way. Let's put it that way. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but, our military has plenty of experts available, in my opinion, to help defend our critical infrastructure. But you also have to understand our critical infrastructure is, you know, our military has a specific mission, and sometimes their mission doesn't align with what needs to be done with some of these private businesses that are part of our critical infrastructure. So the reality of it is, in my opinion, I think, Andre, you might agree or disagree here. I'll throw it to you after I say this, but I've said it before. I don't think we're spending enough money in these areas. And it's more that either government needs to act. If Christopher Wray is out there saying we need more money, where's it going to come from? Right. So either these companies have to reallocate their budget to pay for cybersecurity efforts, or the government has to subsidize it. Those are your two options, in my opinion. Do you see it any other way?
No, I agree with you. And it doesn't help that our critical infrastructure is segments where you can have one count. Like here in South Florida, we have 34 different counties. It's Miami-Dade County, but we have 34 different cities. And I would probably count about 15 of those cities have their own water plants, own water treatments and things like that. So I'm sure that doesn't help either, where if you do have someone, you know, from the military, Homeland Security, whatever, to now be able to see if these water plants, like, so for example, we could have, like, in Florida, we have Florida Power and Light, and that's like 30% of the market here in Florida. So the fact that it's different in every city, and they're using different systems, different programs, it doesn't help the situation either.
So we'll see where this goes. Thanks for the question, Pasquale. We hope we answered it. I think it was a good one that required a little bit of thought and discussion behind it. But I definitely think that the military is in good hands. Unfortunately, with critical infrastructure, it's more than just military that needs to step up and help out. Because, you know, I run a private business, right? You know, I'm not going to run to the military, or the military is not going to come help me. That's not how our system is set up, for these types of things. My business has to be able to handle those things. And Andre, you know, I just got, one of my CMMC certifications. And the interesting thing to me is that this is going to be one of these things that these businesses are going to have to deal with here in the very near future when the Department of Defense rules for doing cybersecurity go into effect and these businesses actually have to start doing this stuff. And they're going to have a hard choice to make. They're either going to have to decide whether or not they want to continue to do business with the Department of Defense. And I believe that the thing that we see with CMMC is going to spread across the federal government. So you're going to have to do this stuff if you want to do federal contracts in the future. So this is coming. And I think that companies need to decide, do I want to continue to do federal contracts, or it's not worth it for me to do all this cybersecurity stuff and I'm going to step away. Right, that's a choice that businesses are going to have to decide here in probably the next 5 years. I'm going to say a significant number of businesses that do business with the federal government are going to have to decide whether they're going to invest in this stuff. But then what does that mean, Andre, right? That means the cost of the contract is going to increase because they have to do these things, right? So now they, let's say they have to charge that 3 to 6% more that we talk about as a target spend for your cybersecurity. So now you're charging 3 to 6% more on your contract, passing that through to the government. Where's that coming from? Taxes. Now your taxes are going up, right? That's how this stuff gets funded. And that's the thing that I've been saying for probably over 10 years is that, you know, when you're dealing with something like cybersecurity, and inflation at the same time, cybersecurity can be very inflationary to businesses and industry. Do you see it that way?
Yep. It's going to, I mean, it's going to separate the good from the bad in that aspect. So there's some good part of it.
All right, my man, let's move on. Let's talk about what's going on over at Change, unless you have something you want to add to the China thing. I think we've talked about that pretty extensively.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, so we have this whole situation going on with Change, United Healthcare Group. They were the ones who owned Change Healthcare that was caused a big disruption. You may be familiar with it as like the pharmacy hack, or your doctor wasn't able to see you or bill your insurance. This was that healthcare attack that happened and affected a lot of people, and especially small doctors' offices. But it's being reported that the United Healthcare Group paid a ransom following a ransomware attack by Black Hat / AlphaV that disrupted Change Healthcare's operations and threatened to leak sensitive patient data. It says, despite paying $22 million to prevent the data from being sold or leaked, the issue escalated as Ransom Hub started leaking data. United Health has confirmed a significant financial impact of $872 million from the attack and is taking measures to support affected individuals, including offering credit monitoring and restoring most services. And I saw a report yesterday, Andre, that said that they fully expect this to exceed $1 billion in losses.
Wow.
So,
but the only one that's got, but you know, we hear the pharmacies and the doctor's offices all affected. But despite that, the $1 billion that you're saying, their quarterly earnings grew almost $8 billion.
Wow! So
they'll be all right.
So you have this figure, the figure of 872. They're saying it includes the direct cyber attack response costs and losses from business disruption, right? So the $22 million ransom payment seems like a drop in the bucket compared to, and this is what we try to talk about on this show all the time and we try to educate people on. It's like, look, dude, it's not just about a ransomware payment. Like, here are all the things you're going to have to deal with as a result of an attack like this. And boom, this is probably the biggest example we've seen, right? To date. So it says United Healthcare has increased its claims reserves and experienced significant operational cash flow reductions due to the attack, which disrupted services across the U.S. healthcare system, affecting numerous healthcare providers and pharmacies. So it's interesting where this goes, because the Ransom Hub gang, who started leaking the data, they allege was taken from United Healthcare subsidiary Change Healthcare. Black Hat AlphaV ransomware group, which initially executed the cyber attack and claimed it was stolen 6 terabytes of data, shut down their operation, suggesting a possible exit scam involving the $22 million, which we talked about on this show a while back. The leaks now being released by Ransom Hub include sensitive corporate and patient information with threats to sell the data if their demands are not met. The situation highlights the ongoing risks and challenges of double extortion tactics in cybersecurity. So this group is still trying to get paid. Like, they, I guess their extortion attempt doesn't come with the same gusto as the ransom, when you're just saying, hey, we have your data and we're going to release it. And, you know, they're kind of like sitting there wondering and waiting. if there's actually data to be released. What are you thinking is going on there?
Well, first of all, it's a mess, because let's go back to how, and this kind of ties into the question you asked me about with China and things like that. How did this happen? You know, like, how did all of this whole mess happen? And according to the reports, they used compromised credentials on an application that allowed staff to remotely access the system. So you see, guys, how simple it was, simple in that aspect of how simple it was. It's not that these threat actors did something crazy, some, you know, MacGyver maneuver on Matrix. It was compromised credentials on a system that then allowed them to get into the machines and then now do this whole havoc.
Yep.
Always the basics, right? It's
well, I guess it's what you consider the basics, right? I mean, the way I see it is you're either doing nothing or you're doing you're following a framework, right?
Right.
You know, unfortunately, this is one of those things where it's like, I don't know, you can't just go to the gym, you can't just eat right. Like, you got to do all the things, right? It's not just one of the things and you're okay. Like, you have to do all the things and you have to do them well in order to not get hacked. And you and I look at it as the basics and the fundamentals, because we've known, yeah, you need to do that for years. And people just still aren't doing it yet.
Yeah. The article continued to say MFA wasn't enabled on this particular application.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So this is a remote, this is basically what a remote, like, I don't want to name any companies because it's not necessarily theirs, but it was a remote viewing software that allowed them to get into the systems that didn't have 2FA.
Was it Screen Connect?
No, it didn't say, actually. Oh. I didn't want to put, yeah. But
oh. I thought it was, that's why.
Oh, it could have been, but I don't see it here.
Because there was a rumor going around, because the Screen Connect thing happened right around the same time, and there was a rumor floating that they exploited the Screen Connect. So, last but not least, a cyber attack disrupted New York's budget negotiations, which were already delayed by 17 delays when hackers targeted the state's bill drafting commission. Governor Hochul noted the necessity to revert to a 1994 computer system to continue operations amidst the attack, which is still under investigation. The state is prioritizing finding the source over addressing ransom demands. This situation has heightened concerns about the security of critical data infrastructure and has potentially extended the time legislators need to finalize a budget. And not only that, we're talking about one of the most restrictive states when it comes to cybersecurity laws for businesses as well. So it's interesting to me. and basically, the course of a month, you've had our own federal government's cybersecurity wing cyber attacked. And then now you have New York State, one of the, you know, supposed leaders on the forefront of cybersecurity regulation. Now they're dealing with this attack.
And the fact that they had to get a 1994 computer, like, did they, like, hey, go grab that CRT monitor down in the basement and plug it in and let's see if that, you know, Lotus Notes still work. It's like, kind of like, it's crazy.
It's not crazy. I mean, I don't know. If I had to go into disaster recovery, I'd much rather be able to do it on a computer than pen and paper.
I don't know. I would have ran to like Best Buy or something and picked up something there, but to get, right, you know, a machine that's 1994, that's super.
I wonder what was behind that and how they were able to even do that. That's kind of wild.
Yeah. And the fact that she admitted it, like, oh, yeah, you know, we got the computer there from 1994. We started using that and we continued working on the billion-dollar budget.
Probably standalone. Probably, you know, everybody huddled around one computer, not connected to the internet.
Right.
Who knows? But interesting. They're getting through it, it seems, or at least limping through it. And then just another example of not being prepared for something, right? And now they have to, you know, try to get this done on a computer, and they're going to learn from it. and they're gonna do better. But you know, you see it everywhere. You see it all around. You don't have to look far. You don't have to go far. You can do simple Google searches, and you can see the unpreparedness of our governments and our businesses across the country around this stuff.
Okay, and I see what happened. So apparently their old system, like their old, like before they upgraded to what they have now, I guess they kept those computers. And I guess it has this budget software, maybe a few versions old. Mm-hmm. And that's why they decided to go for that.
Well, hopefully they didn't put it online. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Windows 3.1.
Yeah.
3.0. I don't even know what they would have been running back then. Windows 95?
Yeah, I would think that. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And the way they're just saying this is like, listen to this here. For now, the return to the old system seems to be working. Like, what do you mean? It's our floppy disks. We're able to save everything. We brought out the zip drives, and everything seems to be working. We're fine.
It will work until it doesn't.
Yeah, but that's just, I don't know. I got fired for that one.
They'll figure it out. More than likely, they just probably needed the system to create the documents that the whatever they're creating needs, like the budget, what that needs to be printed on, like the format. Uh-huh. Like that's probably all it is. Something like that. Who knows? So. We'll see. Well, but that's interesting that, New York State having trouble just getting business done, and it's not the only government we've seen this kind of stuff with. So, get your risk assessments done, get prepared, understand your risk, understand where you have maybe potential problems and inability to get work done if certain things are down or certain things are unavailable. That's what a risk assessment will reveal to you and your business, so that you're not surprised or you're not running around trying to find a computer from 1994 to set up and work. Well, that sounds like, oh man, look, they actually had something. Well, there's better ways to do things. And as Andre said, like going to Staples and just getting a cheap machine is probably a better option than, but it takes planning. You can't just we just got hit with ransomware. Let's go to Staples and buy computers and expect it. But if you put a plan in place, you can make it pretty seamless if you do things the right way, right? Mm-hmm. Where you plug that computer in, you still have access to everything. You know what I mean? It's not like one thing went down and you can't access it now. Or, if you do things right and you split things up correctly, as we talk about, segment, you make it really hard for them to hit everything, right? And that's the whole idea, right? You don't want them to hit everything if they do get in. You want them, not if, but when happens, right? You don't want them, at a buffet being able to hit whatever they want. Good analogy.
Yep.
You don't want them sitting at the old Golden Corral, right?
Right.
So, anything else, dude, before we split?
No, that's all.
All good. All right. Hope Randy feels better. We'll see him next week. And take care, everyone. Remember, share the show. We'll see you all next week.